Baruchim Haboim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. Tonight, Chav Zayin Av Tov Shin Pei, corresponding to the English calendar, August 17th, 2020. Unfortunately, I have a very sad report to tell everybody that my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was nifted today. And as I'm talking, there are hespedim, eulogies being given in Chicago. May tonight's shir be a zechus for Chaim Dov ben Yaakov couple, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as he certainly has a very special place in the world in Shemayim, in Gan Eden. This week is also an unusual week because it's going to be the week of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul will be Wednesday night going into Thursday and Friday, which obviously means that we're going to have to include Yalav Yavo in our davening, in our benching, and we're going to be saying Hallel every single day. It's also on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, we will be blowing Tekiah Shofar and saying L'David Hashem Eiri, as the custom is, as we say L'David on the second day of Elul, going right through to the holiday of Sukkot. Many people finish by Shmini Atzeres. These 40 days correspond to the 40 days from beginning of the second day of Elul till Yom Kippur, that corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu going up on Har Sinai and coming back with the second Luchos, as Hashem then responds to Moshe's plea to forgive the Bnei Yisrael for the Egel Hazov, as he says, Solachti Kivarecha, I have forgiven the Jewish people as you have requested. On Erev Rosh Chodesh, some places have Yom Kippur Katan Davening. I know yeshivas do, some shuls do. It's a special tefillah before Mincha that ushers in the month of Elul, and it's parts of the tefillah are tefillah of tshuva, getting us ready in spirit and in thought for preparing for Rosh Hashanah. So let's now begin the parasha. Parasha Shoftim is again very rich, like in Parashas Re'eh, very rich with many mitzvahs. It talks about the mitzvah of setting up a judicial system, Shoftim v'Shoftim Titan Lecha. It talks about removing any trace of Avodah Zarah or witchcraft in Eretz Yisrael, talks about setting up a Jewish king, giving Shevet Levi the authority of being in charge of running the Beis HaMikdash, which includes Kohanim and Levim, and with the mitzvah of giving Maisa to them to support them. Talks about Ori Miklat, cities of refuge. But I want to dwell on a completely different mitzvah. I want to dwell on the mitzvah that soon afterwards it will lead us into a discussion, in the discussion of getting ready for Rosh Hashanah through the month of Elul. I would like to take you to Perek Chof. It talks about when a Jew goes to war, and there is a mitzvah for everyone to participate. However, there are exceptions to the rule when certain people don't have to participate in war. The Pasuk and Pasuk Aleph, Perichov, begins, Ki seisilam mochalama al oyvecha. If you go out to war against your enemy, the Pasuk continues and you see the strength of the enemy and you see how well prepared he is. Don't buckle over. Don't get frightened. Hashem is going to fight with you and be with you. But several psukim later, it talks about which people are permitted to step down from going to war. After the Shoftim talked to the Jewish people, it says, "V'dibru hashaytim el ha'om lemar." These are the following four examples. Miho ish asher bona bayis chadash v'lechanochay. A person who built a new home and he did not celebrate its inauguration. He didn't put up a mezuzah. He wasn't there long enough to be able to celebrate the Chanukas Habayis. Then he should go back for Yashav LeBeisai. He should go back to his house and settle his house. Maybe he'll die in war. He won't be able to inaugurate the house. The second case, Mir Ish Ashenata Kerem Velo Chilalo. A person who had planted a vineyard and he did not have the opportunity for the fourth year to be able to eat its fruit in Yerushalayim, or Yashav LeBeisai, he should go back to his house. A third example, Miyo Ish Asher Eras Isha, a man who had got engaged in Erasin, he did a Kedushin with a woman, V'lo L'Kocha, but he did not complete the marriage with a Nisuin. Yashav LeBeisai, he should go back to his house. Again, he might die in war. And then finally, Miho Ish Hayorei V'rach HaLevav, a person who is fearful and he is sensitive to blood and war and battle and fighting and all this, and therefore if he feels he cannot handle being in the battleground, then the Yashav LeBeisai, he should go back to his house. The truth of the matter is, the first three on the surface, the first three will hide the true identity of the fourth person, because when anyone who steps back, they don't know why he would step back. But if a person is Yorei, he's fearful, and Rashi says he's fearful because he has done an Aveira. He has not lived up to his responsibility in doing mitzvahs. Maybe he was a person who didn't fulfill his tzedakah requirements. Maybe he stumbled in speaking Lashon Hara. Maybe he talked during davening. Nothing necessarily major, but he feels that the Aveira would be a reason for him to lose the courage and confidence in war. Such a person should not go to battle. But the first three are specific mitzvos. So what does these all have in common? So I've seen a marvelous explanation, which is a very interesting insight to doing mitzvos. I've seen this in the Sefer Bishvilei HaParsha, and this Harav HaGoyin Meir Tzvi Spitzer Shlita brings down the Abarbanel, a very interesting Abarbanel. He's a commentary in the time of the medieval times, I believe during the Inquisition. The Abarbanel explains what all this has in common, all these mitzvahs, the mitzvah of going ahead and setting up a house, the mitzvah of being giving yourself the opportunity to go to Yerushalayim to eat the vineyard. The food of the vineyard is called kerivai. The whole the union over here of marriage. All these have one thing in common, and he brings down a very interesting quote from Chazal. Chazal say, "Hamaskel b'mitzvah oimem le'gemor." Whoever begins a mitzvah, he is told to finish the mitzvah. This is a special koyach that if it's understood that a person starts a mitzvah, he generates a tremendous amount of energy in Shemayim, and when a person begins a mitzvah, he will have special siyata d'shmaya from heaven to complete the mitzvah. So if he started the mitzvah, right, so Hashem will give him the opportunity to finish the mitzvah. He started the mitzvah by building a home, but he didn't have a chance to put a mezuzah and to celebrate Chanukah Sabayis. He planted a kerem, a vineyard, but never a chance to go ahead and eat its fruit on the fourth year in Yerushalayim. And here a man engaged and had a kedushin with a woman, but didn't do a nisuin, didn't complete the marriage. So these are mitzvahs where Hashem sees he started the mitzvah. Hashem will give him siyata d'shmaya to want to complete the mitzvah. This is a very important concept, that by beginning a mitzvah, and Hashem sees how anxious you want to do the mitzvah, Hashem will give you the heavenly sent help for you to complete this mitzvah. Now, the truth of the matter is, this quote of being a maskil b'mitzvah, oimim le'gemor, now I've found a pasuk in the Chumash in Parashas Ekev alludes to this very powerfully. In the pasuk, Perikhes pasuk Aleph, the pasuk says, "Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayoyim, a mitzvah that I am commanding you today, tishmerun la'asos, you shall guard to do it. L'man in order tichyun, you will live, urvisem, and you will multiply yourselves, uvasem, and you will come, uvarishtem es ha'oretz, and you will inherit the land, asher nishba, ad Hashem la'avosech, which Hashem has sworn to your fathers." That when you do a mitzvah, so what does Rashi say on that word, kol ha-mitzvah? Says Rashi, he brings down the Medrash Agadah, in his Chalta b'mitzvah gemor oisa. If you start a mitzvah, you are commanded to complete it. She'eino nikras ha-mitzvah ela al shem ha-goimra. The credit will be given to a person only if he completes the mitzvah. Shenama, and we find this in the Torah, that we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the bones of Yosef for 40 years, but he wasn't given credit for it because he couldn't bury him in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes, Rashi quotes from Yehoshua, that Atzmos Yosef, when they finally brought it to rest, that Atzmos Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim kavu b'shchem, and the bones of Yosef, which they brought, the Bnei Yisrael brought out from Egypt, they buried in Shechem, in the city of Shechem. So Rashi says, "V'halo Moshe Lavado nisasik b'hem?" Was Moshe himself the one who personally took care of the bones? He was the one v'halosam to bring them up. Elafishlo hispik v'gaimra. He wasn't capable of finishing it. V'gaimra Yisrael, the Jewish people, finish it. Nikra'as al shemam, is called on their name. There is something to say about completing a mitzvah. And if a person wants to complete a mitzvah, then Hashem gives him special siyata d'shmaya. And from the pasuk, you see it says, he'll be blessed, l'man tichyun, you'll be blessed with life, and you'll be able to multiply, and you'll be a successful person if you want to engage yourself in completing a mitzvah. Now, this is so powerful, and you do a mitzvah to try to complete the mitzvah, we find it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had mentioned this concept of completing a mitzvah in Parshas Matos with the war against Midian. Everybody probably remembers that the story of Pinchas, Ben Elazar ben Aaron Cohen had been courageous enough to go kill Zimri ben Solo the Cosby Basur and stop the Magefa from raging. At the time when the Jewish people fell to the devious plans of Bilam of Russia, and therefore Hashem said, go and take revenge from the Midianim. So they, when they went out to fight the Midianim, the parasha says that Hashem sent Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Now, he wasn't really supposed to go, because the Meshuach Muhammad, the one who's supposed to go to war, is the Kohen Gadol. Yet Pinchas ben Elazar is the one that went. Rashi comments on this. How come did Pinchas go? Let's read Rashi in Pasuk Vav and Perek Lamet Aleph. Why did Pinchas go and not Elazar? After all, it was his duty to go to war. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to the wording of Rashi. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, Mi shehizchu b'mitzvah, shahara kozvi basur yigmor. The one who started the mitzvah of killing kozvi basur shall finish the mitzvah by killing out the Midianites. So we see from over here that Hashem himself endorses the whole concept of starting a mitzvah. The one who starts the mitzvah should complete this mitzvah. And with the completion of the mitzvah comes all the great brachos and the great siyata d'shmaya, the help from heaven in fulfilling the mitzvah and being blessed as a result. Now, this is not a small matter at all, because this idea that the Abarbanel is bringing out, that Kol Hamaskel B'Mitzvah Omim Lo Gemur, is that he's explaining that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs, when he runs the world the same way, he wants to help us when he sees someone starting a mitzvah. So he provides this incredible degree of siyata d'shmaya to help the person along and ensure that he finishes the mitzvah. And if a person gets himself into such a situation where he starts a mitzvah, he could end up being blessed in unusual ways, way beyond the power of nature. Now, the Sefer Bishvilei HaParsha says several beautiful stories about this power of starting a mitzvah and how it can save a person and lengthen a person's lifetime. And this is a story this Rabbi Spitzer brings down that happened with himself. He says the following: I knew a big Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim who was not well. He had a weak heart, and the doctors told him that he would not live much longer. This Talmud Chacham went to the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yehuda Segel, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, seeking a bracha, a segula, and an etzah, a bit of advice. The Rosh Yeshiva advised him to embark on a major undertaking, a mitzvah, explaining that if he would start something big, start a big mitzvah, let's say, for example, he wants to go to make a siyum, so he wants to make a siyum a mesechta, going to take maybe a year or two for him to finish. He would manage, and he would try to manage to finish, then Hashem would give him the siyata d'shmaya for him to actually finish this. We find the same thing with Rev Eliyahu Mizrahi, who was one of the great rabbonim of Turkey at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, and he lived to an old age. He wrote a commentary on Rashi, al Torah, as well as numerous tshuvas, responsos. In one tshuva, in one answer to a question that was asked of him to write a tshuva, an answer, he writes that he has only written his commentary on Bereshis, and he is nowhere near completion. Nevertheless, he writes, he says, he is confident that once he started Bereshis, who was Maskel B'Mitzvah, Hashem will give him the years of life necessary to complete his entire commentary on Rashi, al HaTorah. And he did. The famous Mizrahi is on Rashi, a very big sefer on all of Rashi, a commentary that's used about the entire world of Torah. He wrote it on every parasha from Bereshis till Vizos HaBracha, and when he was finished, he passed away. We see the incredible power of being Maskel B'Mitzvah, starting a mitzvah, and not a small mitzvah, but a mitzvah that takes time. And Hashem sees you want to do a mitzvah, Hashem says that I will help you complete the mitzvah. There's another story, the same concept. the concept of being maskal b'mitzvah, if you're trying to do something, you're trying to do something good, Hashem will give you se'ata d'shmaya. And this really now enters our realm of Elul, and this is how the stories that I'm telling you are now going to approach the month of Elul. Here's a story from Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta interprets the words Hashem Tzilchav. We say this in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha, Yad Yiminecha, Al Yad Yiminecha, Hashem Tzilcha. What does that mean? Hashem acts like a shadow, that Hashem shadows our behavior. But a shadow can be much bigger than the actual person. When a person moves his hand in the shadow, right, the shadow moves too. But if you look at the shadow is greater, much greater than the hand itself. We have to do a little bit of hishtadlos, a little bit of effort to start a mitzvah. And then Hashem grants us tremendous siyata d'shmaya, sometimes even greater than our own effort, to continue and complete the mitzvah. And this is the whole concept which we were talking at the beginning of our parsha. We're talking about a person wants to complete his kedushin by getting a nisuin, a complete marriage. Hashem will help it happen. Whether he wants to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of eating the fruit in Yerushalayim, he went to the trouble of planting a vineyard. Hashem will give him the opportunity to have Kerem Revai eating the delicious fruit of his vineyard in Yerushalayim, so he doesn't have to go to war. He'll have the siyata d'shmaya to finish the mitzvah. The same thing by being machanech his house, make chanukis habayis, to go ahead and put a mezuzah and to celebrate the completion of the building of his house. And it takes a while to do that. If that is kavana, Hashem will give him definitely the siyata d'shmaya to complete it. And with this, we can go into the words of Elul. The word Elul is an acronym of Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. I do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he does for me. So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does far more for me than I do for him. When I do something small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with overpowering siyata d'shmaya. But I have to be the one to do it first. And if I do it first, Hashem will respond at the end with a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya. Again, if you start doing a mitzvah and you want to do the mitzvah of tshuva and it's hard and it takes a while, and he sees you really want to do it, then Hashem will grant you the opportunity to be able to do it. Such an important concept. If a person has that right attitude and doing the mitzvahs, then he is infused with a tremendous amount of energy that will give him siyata d'shmaya to complete the mitzvah, and by completing the mitzvah, he will be zeicha to all the brachos and the siyata d'shmaya that the mitzvah provides. I remember a story that happened with me. I may have mentioned it at another shiur, but it's worthwhile to mention it now because it's so appropriate. When I was engaged to get married to my wife, I went to the Square Rebbe. The Square Rebbe in Square Town, that's in the Muncie and Spring Valley area. And the custom of Chassanim is to go to get a bracha from a great rabbi in order to be blessed with children and with siyata d'shmaya, that the marriage should go in the right way, and we should be able to build a bais em and be Yisrael. And it's a minhag among many people to do that. I was also zecha to do the same thing with the Satmar Rav, zecha tzadik l'vracha. So the story goes like this. I went to the Rebbe, and I asked him for a bracha, and he so did what he normally does, and he blessed me accordingly. And I walked, I was just about ready to leave the room. And as I was about to leave, he called me back. And he said, I want to tell you a word from my father, the old Squirer Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Now, the interesting thing about the old Squirer Rebbe was that my mother, Aleha Shalom, and my father should be well, went for a bracha to the old Squirer Rebbe. It happened to be at the time when they gave my father and mother a bracha that my mother was pregnant with me. So it was a very interesting situation took place where I ended up getting a bracha before I was born, and then I got a bracha as I'm about to ready start my married life from the bracha of the son of the old Squirer Rebbe. And now he said, I want to tell you a vort that my father had said. And the vort goes like this. Remember, listen carefully. Chazal tell us, Piskuli Pesach kepiskei shel ulam. Open up to me, says Hashem, the opening kepiskei shel machat, like the opening of a needle. Va'ani eftach l'cho Pesach kepiskei shel ulam. And I will respond like the opening of a doorway of a gigantic ballroom. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what the Chazal say? How big is the opening of the eye of a needle? It's tiny. It's really very, very tiny. So Chazal say, open up. Come to me, Hashem says. I want you to make a little effort. But make it a little effort. And I will respond. The effort of a gigantic doorway. Like something similar to the mashal that Rabbi Saul Salanter says, Hashem tilcha yad yeminecha, Hashem is a shadow, a little shadow, yeah, your hand's a little bit, and your shadow could be three, four, five times the size of your hand. Right? So the Rebbe asked a question. The old, on this chazal, this famous quote, why does the Chachamim say to open up the size of the opening of a needle, piskali pesach kepiska shel ulam, piskali pesach kepesach shel machat, va'ani eftach kepesach shel ulam. Open up the eye the size of a machat. Why is there a lot of small things in the world? Why do we have to open up to the size of a machat of a needle? What was the point of Chazal saying? Open up like the size of a needle. There are a lot of small things in the world. It could be a size of a toothpick, the size of a hair, the size of a splinter. What was the point in Chazal? So the Rebbe Zatzal said like this. He's not referring to the eye of the needle. It's referring to the point of the needle. Chazal say, Piskli Pesach Kepiska Shel Machat. I want you to open up the opening up. Now the Machat, the point, when it pricks, is so small, it's microscopic. You can't even see it. But the difference is that if a person would jab his hand with the point of a Machat, his whole body would jolt. His whole body would feel the effect. His body would feel the prick. So Chazal is telling us, Piskali Pesach Kepiska Shel Machat, open up to me with the opening of a needle. Just a little bit, but it has to be the same effect of a needle. If the point of a needle would make the body jolt, when you want to do tshuva, the body has to feel the tshuva. The body has to feel the effect. The neshama has to jolt. The neshama has to feel the effect. That's what Chazal say. If you open up the size of a machat, the point of a machat, the whole of a machat, that it's so small you can't even see it, but it's very, very effective. If you do a little bit, tshuva. That's enough to jolt the neshama. Hashem responds, "V'ani efdech l'kapesach kepischa shel ulam." I will respond and I will open up to the size of a grand doorway. That's how I'm going to respond. And here we're talking about, we're right now in the time of Elul. We're a time when we have to start thinking about serious things. It's a time when the world is being jolted by the coronavirus, where people by the thousands have lost their parnasa, and they're still trying to make do with a little bit of the handouts that are being given to them. People are not completely well. Some people still are ill, and we have to live in this shadow of this COVID-19, and we are still being told we have to live with practicing social distancing. I was on the plane coming from New York as I was visiting my father. He should continue to be well. Still needs a refuah shleima, but Baruch Hashem, he made tremendous, tremendous strides. I felt very uncomfortable having the mask on my face the entire trip. As soon as I walked in the airport, it's a big sign, don't enter without a mask. And I had to be with the mask the entire time, and everybody's with masks. And I had to be there throughout waiting for the plane, and the plane was a little late. And I had to be with it on my face the whole time, and it was just so difficult to be breathing almost your own ear constantly, just to remind me that, you know, Baruch Hashem, Hamechin Mitzadei Gover, we say that bracha every morning. Hashem prepares the footsteps of all mankind. This corona, this virus, is Hamechin Mitzadei Gover. This was no accident. Hashem is pointing a finger at us. He wants us to think. It's now Rosh Hashanah time. It's getting very close to Rosh Hashanah time. And Hashem is saying, think! Because now we are serious about diseases, we're serious about health, we're serious about parnassa, we're serious about the future. We still don't know exactly how I'm a teacher. I don't know how the school year is going to unravel. We're still unsure. It's hard to imagine. I had to sign a document, fill it out with all the information before I left the plane, and then hand it to an official, telling him that no, I'm going home. Yeah, you're going to go home. You have to be in quarantine. He made it very clear to me. This is all a finger from Shemayim. And Shemayim had told me, you also have to realize your quarantine. You have to know you have to be... keep your distance from aveiros and focus on mitzvahs. We're getting ready for Elul. It's time to go ahead and think about the future. Rosh Hashanah is around the corner, and we have to do our best to make an honest, wholesome effort in coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like what I said a moment ago from the Square of Rebbe Zatzal, Piskali Pesach Kepiska Shel Ulan, open up the opening like the opening of a needle, means the point of a needle. Va'ani Eftech L'Kol Pesach Kepiska Shel Ulan, and I will respond by opening up a grand doorway, a doorway of a gigantic ballroom. And that's how much Siyata Deshmaya, how much help from heaven Hashem will give us. Hashem is waiting for us. His hands are, so to say, spread wide and said, please come back. It's time for us to renew our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever mitzvahs we know we can get better at, let's do it. And Hashem will bless us all with a wonderful year. We'll approach the month of Elul with renewed vigor, confidence, and with determination. And we will, Mir Tashem, prepare our 40 days with the right attitude and with the right kavana. May you all have a great week. Kol tov.